Jesus is just as powerful today as he was so many years ago. He's still alive, he's still living, and I am thankful for that. If he wasn't, and if he wasn't still on the throne, there'd be really no reason for us to come to church. Because we would just be another religion. But we don't have a religion. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and there's a big difference. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles? That's Old Testament. You say, that's old. I know. But God preserved it. And if it's the Old Testament, it's been preserved longer than the New Testament. So God still has a reason for it. I heard someone recently say, does that mean we can't eat bacon? No. But remember, the Old Testament Bible principles still apply. Principles. Not eating bacon for God's people meant be different from the world. And by the way, we ought still be different from the world. But we will be in the Old Testament. I hope you had a good afternoon. I hesitate to ask if you got a nap, because you know what that means in church, right? Half the people raise their hand and the other half glare at them. So if you didn't get a nap, well, I hope you at least got your coffee, but don't get a nap tonight, all right? 1 Chronicles, would you stand with me as you read out of respect for the reading of the Word of God? 1 Chronicles will be in chapter number 4, chapter 4, verse number 9. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Get this. And God granted him that which he requested. I wonder tonight, what will you ask God for? My Father, I need you tonight. I do not want to waste these people's time. And so, Lord, I'm not asking for you to bless my words. I'm asking you to do what only you can do. Would you, as Isaiah says, prosper in the thing whereto you sent it? May you do your working tonight in your way in every single heart. Now, Lord, I pray that you touch my mind. May I think right, touch my mouth, that I may speak right. But more importantly, Lord, would you touch my heart, that I may be right. May I be a clean and usable vessel for you tonight. And Father, I ask this tonight the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you say, turn to the Chronicles, you can almost hear the inward groaning of everybody's heart. I know what it was like when I was in Bible college. You always meet these, you know, holier than thou. You know what I'm talking about. And they come and ask you this question. Well, brother, what did you get out of your Bible reading this morning? Inevitably, they'd always ask when I'm going through a passage of Scripture that I'm having trouble in. Particularly the Chronicles. I mean, I read the names, but I'm not even going to try to pronounce the names. And inevitably, that's what happened. I was reading in the Chronicles, doing everything I could to keep my eyes open, to spend time with the Lord before 7 o'clock classes. And usually my 7 o'clock class was Greek. I don't know who designed that, but that was wrong. But I remember this person coming up to me. And they said, so what'd you get out of your Bible reading this morning? Now, it's one of those things that I probably shouldn't have said. You know what I'm talking about. But you just say it. And later you think, ooh, that was bad. Or you think, ooh, that was good. One or the other. And he said, what'd you get out of your Bible reading this morning? And I said, it is the first thing that popped in my mind. I'm going through the Chronicles, the begats and begotten. So I said this, well, I learned from the Chronicles that if you get married, you're probably going to have children. The begats, the begottens. I mean, right? He had children, he had children, he had children, and he had children. And so, needless to say, that person never asked me again what I got on my Bible reading. So I thought that was pretty good, you know. But when you come to the Chronicles, you say, oh, no, I can't even understand the names. And where I'm from in North Carolina, you may try to pronounce the names and everybody just kind of smiles at you. Yeah, at least you tried. Well, I'm thankful tonight for the name of Jabez. Now, if you're anything like me, you remember the name Jabez for one reason. In the 90s, there was this big movement. It was about the same time that all the Bible bookstores, and they're hard to find anymore, but they started carrying the WWJD paraphernalia. You know what I'm talking about. They also started carrying this, the prayer of Jabez. You would see it on bookmarks, Bible covers, decorative plates. You'd see it in everybody's house and seemingly like you walked into the church. You'd see it everywhere. The prayer of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, pray the prayer of Jabez. They've even written books on it. And I think, great. How does it help me? It's not my prayer. Have you seen the prayer books? You know what I'm talking about, right? Pray this prayer. You see them, excuse me. Ladies, don't get mad at me, but you will find some in Hobby Lobby. Okay? Pray this prayer. The prayer book. We were in a Bible bookstore not too long ago. My 6-year-old, who was at the time 5, she picked up this little book, and it said, how to spend 3 minutes with God for little girls. And she said, that's not enough time. Another time she picked up a book and says, prayers to pray. And she said, I thought we were just supposed to pray, not read people's prayers. So when I come to the prayer of Jabez, I think, how does it help me? This was someone else's prayer. Is it really a big deal? Yes, because God has it in the Word of God. But when you read the Chronicles, it's so interesting because it's talking about the begats and begottens and begats and begottens and oh, and by the way, and Jabez. And I think that doesn't belong there. What's even more unique is you won't find Jabez's name anywhere else in the Bible, at least in my study. And so I read the name Jabez and I think, okay, who was he? The Bible mentions him for 2 verses. We only can remember his name because his mother bare him with sorrow. Can you imagine going through life and you're named because of your childbirth? I'm not sure if it's, I'm going to call you Jabez because, oh, childbirth was terrible with you. Or, I had you and then I became sad. I bear him with sorrow. Whatever the case, I read Jabez and I think, great. But when I come to the end of the Bible talking about Jabez, I take note. Because Jabez prayed a prayer that God said yes to. That God granted Jabez everything that he asked for. And I think maybe it's about time that I learned something from Jabez. With my success rate, your pastor may have preached on Jabez last week. I don't know. But I'll be honest, I have never heard a message on Jabez. So when I read about Jabez, I feel kind of lost. I think, this is a man I know literally nothing about from the other passages of the Bible, yet God gives him testimony that he's more honorable than all his brethren. It's not speaking of his brothers. It's speaking of his contemporaries, of those that will say that they love Jesus. God says that Jabez is more honorable than his brethren. I think, well, I don't know that I could line up with that, but I sure want God to answer my prayer. And you read here about how he prays, and I think, okay, well, if I just repeat Jabez's prayer, will God answer me? No. This is Jabez's prayer. Well, how do I get an answer like Jabez got? Pray the way he prayed. It's not just repeating a prayer. It's getting a hold of God. You see, a lot of times that's where we struggle with something called the assurance of salvation. Have you ever heard this in good independent fundamental Baptist circles today? Well, brother, you know that you're saved if you prayed the prayer. Did you really mean it? Did you say the right word? Excuse me. My prayer did not die for me. My prayer is not what saved me. Hear me out. Jesus died for me. Jesus saved me. You say, but what about the verse that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Yes. But call in that passage means believe, depend. In other words, prayer is how I access God, but Jesus is the payment of sin. Amen. Well, I want God to answer my prayer. Well, maybe it's time that we start calling the Bible way. Depending. I can't, he can, I need God. That's what Jabez is saying here. Get this. When you and I seek for God, he promises he will be found. But how many prayers have you heard recently that go to the ceiling and bounce back down? Are you with me? You know what it's like. I mean, I've prayed prayers just like you. Lord, help me today. What's that mean? Lord, bless the missionaries. What does that mean? Have you ever been in church before and somebody's supposed to pray and they forget what they're supposed to pray for? I was in a church several years ago, and they're inviting the ushers to the forward for the offering, and the pastor looks down and he says, brother, would you pray for the offering? And bless his heart, the dear man, he's bowed his head, he closed his eyes, and he said something like this: dear Lord, bless this food to our bodies. Poor guy. Everybody knows he's off in left field somewhere. And then finally, he realizes where he is and what he's done. This spiritual food that you've given our pastor for us today. And you think, nice save, but not good enough. But isn't it interesting how many times we pray and we do not get answers to prayer? You say, well, God promises to answer every prayer. No, he doesn't. David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. John says in the book of 1 John that if I want answered prayer, I need to pray according to God's will, not according to my want. And you open the passage here and Jabez says, God, I need you. And God says, you got it. Everything you ask for, Jabez, I'm going to give to you. I think I need to learn how to pray like Jabez. I think we need to learn to pray like Jabez. A prayer of desperation, I can't, God can. And here's what he says in verse number 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Maybe we should stop there a minute. Calling on the God of Israel has never been popular. It's not today. Here's how we pray. As Paul Harvey once said, our Father, which art in Washington. James says we often pray to consume it upon our lusts. But Jabez prays to the God of heaven. In other words, he's the only one that will answer. He's the only one that can answer. And Jabez calls on the God of Israel. You must understand when Jabez lived. According to history, this is not Bible. These are the only two verses in the Bible that mention Jabez's name. According to Jewish tradition and history, Jabez would be a contemporary of a man named Ezra. Do you remember Ezra's day? Talk about wicked. Man lived for self, wanted nothing to do with God. And for Jabez to say, I'm going to call on God, it's not popular. And by the way, there will always be fewer people serving God than serving the world. Always. But Jabez says, I'm not in it for what I can get out of life, but I am going to follow God because God is worthy. He comes to this passage and he calls on the God of Israel. And Jabez, he's not a preacher. He's a career man. Sometimes we have the idea that the men that stand behind the pulpit, men who stand behind the pulpit ought be men of God. But that ought not be where the men of God's standard ends. We need men of God in our homes. We need men of God in the chairs to lift up the arms of the pastors that stand behind their pulpits. We need men of God, and you will not find a man of God decreed such by a decree or by a degree. A man of God is someone that chooses to follow God and God alone, whether he has a PhD, DDDD after his name or not. We need men who will just follow God. If you read tradition, it says that Jabez is a physician. He is a doctor. He is someone that would have some kind of a medical practice. And Jabez may never stand behind a pulpit, but Jabez says, I'm going to follow God. Here's what he first prays for. He says in verse number 10, oh, that thou wouldst, and here's the word that we use a lot, bless me indeed. Where I'm from, in the east, I'm from the Outer Banks of North Carolina, right on the coast, a little place called Elizabeth City, big Coast Guard town. And where I'm from, in that part of the country, we use the word bless a lot. Here's how we use it. Oh, bless your heart. Now, it means a couple of different things. If someone walks into church and you can tell they had a fight with their wife because none of their clothes match, their socks don't match their tie doesn't match their shirt or their coat, and you look at them and say, bless your heart. That means something wrong with you. But if someone comes in and, boy, they just had a rough week and they got a bad diagnosis from the doctor, you look at them and you say, oh, bless your heart. That means I feel for you. I'm sympathizing with you. It's all in the voice inflection. It really is. And sometimes we just say it without even thinking, oh, bless your heart, bless your heart, bless your heart, bless your heart. Not like we bless the missionaries. Lord, bless the missionaries. What does that mean? Does that mean, Lord, give them something extra special today? Does that mean, Lord, help them, protect them? Does that mean, Lord, open the windows in heaven and pour out something upon them? Does that mean, I don't know, a sprinkling of some kind? I don't know. But Jabez, when he uses the word bless, it is not a vague word. The word that Jabez uses is the very idea of a servant bowing his knee before a king saying, I can't, he can. No wonder Jabez got an answer to prayer. Jabez, like another writer in the Bible, is saying, when I am weak, then is he strong. It's not when I have a little bit of strength, then God shows up. No, no, no. He's saying, I am nothing. I have nothing to offer God. By the way, God doesn't need us to accomplish his work. He doesn't need us. Now, he wants to use us. But we are not God's gift to mankind. Jesus is. Amen. He says, without me, in the book of John 15, ye can do some things, nothing. And Jabez, he says, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. He's saying, I need your help. We need God's help today. We say, well, will we need it more than we've ever needed it? I don't know. I don't know that we've ever truly recognized how desperate we need to be for God. I don't know that we've ever come to the end of self. Know this, when we come to the end of self, then we can come to the beginning of God. It's not about me. It's about him. It's not about my programs. It's not about my power. It's not about what I can do. It's about God and me yielding to him. And Jabez says, I can't. I need God. You know, maybe it would take God ripping everything from our lives, everything from our hands, for us to realize how much we need him. You won't recognize your need for something until you're desperate for it. You don't realize how much you need water until you don't have water. You don't realize how much you need food until you don't have food. You don't realize truly how much we need money until the bills are coming due and we don't have any. You understand? We won't realize how much we need God until maybe God is all we have. And here Jabez says, I'm done with me. God, I need your help. I need you to show up. Notice what he says. He says, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And, I love this, enlarge my coasts. I told you I'm from the coast of the Carolinas. So I'll be honest. Sometimes my thinking is a little bit different than everybody else's. Particularly in this passage. When he says, enlarge my coasts, here's what I thought Jabez was asking for. I thought he was asking for oceanfront property. Is he asking for a rocking chair on the beach? Come on, Jabez. I mean, are you sure God's going to give you that? You know, that's how a lot of times we pray, isn't it? Hazy prayers. Lord, help me. Maybe we need to just say, Lord, I need you. I can't. We pray lazy prayers. Well, would you, bless the preacher, bless the pastor, bless the service. Amen. Maybe we even pray crazy prayers. Lord, I need $1 million. Do we really? You go here to this passage and Jabez says, I need God. I need God and God alone. Enlarge my coasts. And I said, what is he asking? Here's what he's asking for. He is asking for God to increase his realm of influence for God. I thought, when was the last time I did that? When was the last time I became so desperate for God? Then I ask God, Lord, I don't just need your help. In that help, would you help me to touch more people for Christ? Instead of, Lord, send me out a little something extra this week. Lord, would you help me, you know, make some more? No. Jabez doesn't ask for that. Jabez asks in a very real type setting, in a very literal way, Lord, would you increase my medical practice, if he's a doctor by tradition, so that I can reach more people for God? By the way, when you ask God to send you a divine appointment to give somebody the gospel, God will. You say, how do you know that? Because that's the heart of God. When I first started out preaching in evangelism 15 years ago, I began to ask God to fill my schedule. I said, Lord, would you give me more places to preach? Would you allow me to meet more pastors? Would you help more people to schedule me? And then I realized how Jabez is praying. Because although we were seeing God add to our schedule was not filled. Because I was focusing on me. On my ability, on what I could do. And I had, in a very real sense, and I'm just being straight up and real tonight, I had to realize that who cares about me? It's not about me. It's about the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about who he is. And I read the life of Jabez and I said, Lord, I'm done with me. And I said, Lord, would you please give me more meetings, not for sake of me, but so more people could hear about you. And you know what God did almost overnight? Filled my schedule. You say, what's the point? The point is, it's not about us. It's about him. It's about who he is. Not what we can muster up for Christ, but about Christ doing it and Christ alone. And Jabez says, Lord, I want to reach more people for you. I can't do anything for them, but you can do everything for them. So God, I need your help. When you and I seek God and God alone, God shows up. When we come to the end of self, we come to the beginning of God. And Jabez says, I'm done with me. I want God. Doesn't matter how old you are. And it doesn't matter your background or ability. When you and I just get desperate for God, God shows up. That's called revival. And here Jabez, a career man, says, God, I need your help.
But then notice what else he asked God for. He says, and that thine hand might be with me. I read that and I thought, what's the difference? He's asking for God's help. Isn't that enough? But now he asks for God's hand. And God, you're going to give him that too? I mean, if God's going to give you everything you're asked for, then evidently you prayed pretty specifically. I mean, you asked for God's help. God says, I'll do it. You ask God to enlarge your coast so you could touch more people for him. God says, I'll do it. Now you ask for God's hand that it might be with you. And I thought, what's the difference? The hand of God is the very real presence of God. Let's put it this way. Have you ever been in a church? I don't mean your church. I mean other churches. Maybe you're traveling. And you hear people say something like this. Oh, for the glory days. Oh, for the sawdust trails. The sawdust trails, just so we're clear, did nothing. God did something, and that's why people hit the sawdust trails. People responded to God. Oh, the golden... Did God die? Oh, but how God used the word... God hasn't changed. Oh, but you know that pastor in that day and those years. Oh, those were the glory years. Wait. Isn't God just as powerful today? Couldn't the God who parted the Red Sea... Not the Reed Sea, the Red Sea. Couldn't that God do that today? Maybe he can't find a Moses that'll simply yield and raise up his hands. And I think, where's God? And Jabez says, God, I need your hand. Have you ever heard this? Oh, the fingerprints of God were all over that. I don't want the fingerprints of God. You know what fingerprints are, right? I was there. I'm not anymore. But a hand is a very real presence. I'm tired of talking about God. I want God. I'm tired of learning about God. I want to walk with him. Isn't that the difference between us and Enoch? Enoch walked with God day in and day out. And one day God looked at Enoch and he said, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are yours. Why don't you come home with me? But today, we're asking how close to the world can we be? Today, we're asking how far do I have to go for God? Today, we're asking do I have to obey everything in the Word of God? Today, we're asking is God able? God says, I have not changed. And beyond that, when he says, I change not, he's not talking about what he does, but who he is. That's amazing. Jabez says, God, I'm not just asking you to be real to the man of God. I'm not just asking you to be real to them. God, would you be real to me? God can be real and present to you and me, to anyone who will just simply take their hands off what God already owns and follow God. Amen. The most powerful message I ever heard preached was by a 7-year-old little boy who during a New Year's Eve service was given one of the 3 points by his pastor. And he stood up and for 5 minutes he stumbled around. But he was so scared that he depended on God and God alone. And God shook that service. You say, well, I mean, just a kid. Seems like in the book of Samuel, God had to speak to a kid because he couldn't speak to the preacher. You say, what's the difference? We don't just need to talk about God. We need to walk with God. We need that burning like those on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us? And Jabez says here, I need God's help. I need God's hand. And lastly, he asks for something that most of us would never ask for. He He asked for God's hindrance. Notice what he says in this passage. He says, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Excuse me. That sounds like he doesn't want conviction. That sounds like, Lord, I don't want to be sitting in church and been told where I'm wrong. Lord, I don't want that. But here's what he's saying. I want to be so right with you that I don't have to go through the correcting process. Amen. That I don't have to be convicted. That I don't have to. You say, are you talking about perfection? No. I'm talking about being right with God. Isn't that what he says? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I mean, people, they say this, well, I was walking with God, but I sinned. That's not God's fault. That means because I stopped walking with God. Or sometimes we say this, oh, you know, he's a good person. He has a really good heart. Not according to the Word of God. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God. Or sometimes we like to label sin as an oops. Oh, pray for the brother. He fell into sin. You've heard that, right? We all know what it means. But if we're not careful, here's what we think it means. Just walking along, serving God, doing what's right and... Somebody left the manhole cover off. He fell in. No. Sin is a choice. It is a conscious choice to disobey God. And you go to this passage and Jabez says, I want to be so right with God. I don't want to be in this evil. I want to follow God. One day I might write a book on what people tell me when they're walking out the doors of church. It's incredible. A couple weeks ago, I heard a man come up, and he said, oh, preacher, you stepped all over my toes tonight. I shouldn't have said it, but I did. And my wife looked at me and went, but I said, well, maybe you should have moved your toes out of the way and let God step on your heart. You say, what's the point? We say, I don't like conviction. Friends, if we are not under conviction of sin, something's wrong. You say, well, I don't like preaching that makes me feel uncomfortable. That's why God designed preaching. Amen. Have you heard this? I'm going to another church. Why? I'm not comfortable here. Church was not designed to be comfortable. Church was designed for us to worship God. And you can't worship God God's way if we hold on to sin. Amen. And Jabez says, God, I'm desperate. I can't, you can. I need your help. I need your hand. I need your hindrance. And when you seek God, you'll always find God. And that's a promise of Scripture. And God says, I grant you everything that you ask for. You say, well, what about all the extras? The benefits of the Christian life are only benefits and are only beneficial when I choose God first. When I try to get something out of God for me rather than just God, I am missing out on the whole point of the Christian life. The Christian life is about walking with Christ. The Christian life is about obedience. The Christian life is about surrender. And we hate that word. I got to give God something. No. Surrender is not about me giving God anything. Surrender is about me taking my hands off what God already owns. Friends, Jabez got an answer. God says, you want me. You can have everything you need through me. You want my hand? I'll give it. My very presence. I will be there. You ever been in a service where God is present? Sure. You ever been in a service where God is not? Sure. And that happens when the focus is taken off God and put on man. Amen. Jabez says, God, I'm desperate. God, I need you. I'm done with me. I'm done with what I can do. I'm done with all of this. I just want God. We will see one of the greatest movings of God when we just choose to follow God. Jabez says, I'm done with me. God, I need your hand. I need your help. I need your hindrance so that I can walk with you. What will you ask God for? We ask God for an awful lot of things. And according to the book of James, you have not because you ask not. So asking is fine. When we're not looking to get out of it what we want. When we're not looking for it to consume it upon our lusts. God says he'll answer when we're right with him. When we seek him, we'll find him. But maybe it's time that we stop looking for the benefits and we just look for God. Because when you find God, you get all the benefits. What are you asking God for? Maybe tonight, we need to stop looking for what we can get out of God. And we should start looking for just God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm done tonight. I wonder.